As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome back to a fatal edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Tim Kawakami with me. I probably shouldn't tell the listeners this, but I actually taped a pregame Warriors Jazz preview podcast.
When I heard that, I went, oh, that's a death. That's right there. That's a death knell. That was it. The signal that it was not going to happen when you put work into the next series before they get there. And Nate Duncan, that's going to be the lost tape forever.
Lost tape. It's still on my phone, actually, if people want to hear it. I thought it was a good preview. I was setting up all these different – I'd found a bunch of good stats and tape from, the Jazz-Warriors matches. But that's all irrelevant now. The Warriors lost to the Grizzlies. We could briefly get into the details of the game if you want. I mean, Ja Morant was awesome. He hit – the big stat to me from him, 5 threes. Yeah. He's done that 0 times in his career before tonight.
Killer. Right from the start, right from the get-go, the Warriors backed off of him and hits threes. 4 steals, I think, too. Like, he was, like, reading that. He was doing that LeBron thing. He was kind of reading where the Warriors were going to try to pass the ball. He was a really good player, and he's a good young player. If he can make that 3-pointer, that's a huge thing for him. I'm sure it'll be hit and miss for a while, but it was interesting to see.
Yeah, and, Draymond Green, I thought, played a really poor game. This at postgame, how exhausted he was. It looked like a tired team. Steph was colder than usual. I mean, he still finishes with 39, 13 of 28, 6 of 15 from 3. It's not a bad night, but it's just they look like a tired team at the end of their legs. I predicted that was going to happen in the Utah series. Yeah. I thought they were going to kind of fade quickly against Utah, but it happened quicker than that. You saw it in their passing. I mean, just some terrible passing. They finished on 21 turnovers. That's 41 in the 2 play-in games. That's the reason they lost. And, a couple breaks here or there, and really a couple breaks Wednesday, they're in the 7-2 playing Phoenix, and it's in a completely different scenario heading into the playoffs. But now, because of the turnovers, because of the fatigue, because of several different things in this rocky, turbulent season, it's over now. And once it ends, all of what came before it matters a lot less, and we just look forward.
Well, this game did underline the things that they were weak in, that they kind of – overcame or covered up in going 15-5 in the last 20, and that was offensive playmaking. They could cobble together the defense. They could kind of do it without a center a lot of times, and Looney was, again, he was not bad. He could be tired too. He was not good tonight and basically was pulled in this game in the second half. But they don't have that one more offensive dynamic player. Andrew Wiggins cannot be counted on to it, and the shot was not there today. He tried. He rebounded. He was out there playing defense. The shot was not there, and I just don't think you can ever say that for Wiggins. Sometimes it's going to be there. Sometimes it's not going to be there, and tonight it was not there. They need someone who can take 2 dribbles. I've said this how many times. Take 2 dribbles and dunk. Take a dribble, pump fake, get the guy up the lane, draw the fouls. How many times did JTA have the ball on a cut with, 2 feet away from the basket, and he passes it? And
rough night for JTA.
And the defenses play that. They know. Like, remember with Draymond, they do the same thing. If he's got a man between him and the rim, he passes it. He never tries to beat that guy. You understand why, but you need someone who can do it. You need 2 people who can do it. Klay Thompson isn't going to do that. He's going to spread the floor.
I'll tell you somebody who will and needs next season to be given a lot more of a leash to do it. Jordan Poole is good.
Jordan Poole is that guy. I mean, one of those guys. Yeah, he is. He played big in tonight. You know,
he was awesome. Yeah, he created their biggest bucket of the night to get it to overtime when they're overplaying Steph, and he kind of has this, you know, kind of herky jerky off ball stuff off the drive, and then in the air kind of adjusts and throws the alley oop to Wiggins to send it to overtime. Basically, I mean,
he's a playmaker. He's a playmaker on a team that desperately needs it. Wasn't great defensively, but you know what?
Yeah, he can played 38 minutes.
Yeah, he played 38 minutes. 38 important minutes. Mulder obviously did not play a lot. Yeah, he's you know, he was the weak side, as we said. He was a weak part of the rotation, of an 8-man rotation, and it's hard to have one guy be weak. He was. They need to replace the Mulder spot. They need to replace, you know, and add one more. And Clay's one of them, so maybe add two more to that. And then they've got themselves a 10-man rotation that you could see. And this game... Just, you know, they've been playing it with this 8-man rotation. They've been getting away with it. This game kind of shows you at the end of a run. I mean, what was this 8-man rotation going to do in Salt Lake City? Well, I mean, it was just going to get splattered.
Sunday would have been bad. But I think even more than that, as we talk like 8, okay, you try to extend it to 10. I think one of the things you learn this season with Wiseman goes down, Oubre goes down, you don't have Clay, is it's not even just about having like, you know, 8 to 10, 8 to 11. It's about roster spots 13, 14, 15, no, because you're going to lose guys during the season. And that's where, you know, obviously the Smiley Geach, Eric Paschal giving them nothing really in his second
Damian
season.
Would have helped. I mean, we've said this before and. Yeah. Pathway. Damon Lee would have helped tonight. You know, yeah. Just another guy that you go, okay, Mulder doesn't have it. And what do I say about Mulder? He doesn't make it when it's important, right? I mean, it's just, that's what guys like him do. They can make it when it's not that important. They can shoot 50% and when it's not important, and they shoot 10% when it is important. That's how you get to 38%. Reason why Steph Curry's great, because he makes them pretty much the same amount, whatever the amount of the pressure of the game. They need, three more players. But the thing is, now they have a lottery pick, their own. They have a good shot and not a great pick from Minnesota, but a 6, 7, 8
pick. They're probably the most likely scenarios are sitting there with like 7 and 14.
Yeah, which I think, again.
Can 7 and 14 get you up to 5?
Maybe, you know, maybe not in a – it should, but in a 5-player draft, that's the problem. I don't know. I think maybe you sit at 7 and 14, and you trade one of those maybe for a young veteran, and you keep the other. I mean, you know, you can just plug in – I can't even remember. You know, Corey Kispert at the end, and
Davion Mitchell, Mitchell.
Yeah, and then so you go with those two guys, and with those two guys, you know, both pretty seasoned college players, not James Wiseman level. They're seasoned and guys you can see fitting.
Justinian Jessup. All right, we're getting too far down the road.
They need to get right. That is true. It shouldn't just be naming 10. It should name 15 players. To get themselves to a good 12.
What happened?
And then that gives you a 10-man rotation.
The Lakers game that we watched the other night, I even mentioned, I think, on the post-game pod the other night, but like what Wes Matthews did. Wes Matthews, like the 12th man on the Lakers pretty much all season. Wes Matthews came in. He's proven. He was on the Bucks last season. He's been on winning teams.
He'll take the shot, and he will make it if it's there. And that's just one. I mean, and the Lakers are ridiculously deep. You don't have to be that deep. But. Yeah, the Warriors couldn't pull out. Oh, here's Wesley Matthews. You know, they couldn't do that. Their Wesley Matthews was Nico Mannion. And that isn't going to cut it eventually. But the 15-5 does prove something. You know, I almost had a graph in my column yesterday saying that, you know, it probably would be best-case scenario practically for them to lose this game. Because it gets them in the lottery. You get that wild chance they could get.
2.4% you jump into the top four. Yeah,
that is more than nothing. And then, but also, you're not getting 16 if you don't get in there. You get 14, and 14 could matter. And then you also have that the Minnesota pick that could convey, and then you start. Okay, this is how you start plotting where they can be. They have not had this collection of draft picks before in this era. Two number ones, both in the lottery, likely. That's when you start, okay, this is these guys now need to plug in. That's, I think, the difference now is these guys need to plug in. Like, they can't be 19-year-olds. I don't, unless it's Jonathan Kuminga, and that's a different thing. But they can't do a project thing. I think Steph Curry has earned that. I think Draymond Green has earned that. That these are, you need to get guys who either can draft them and they can go into the rotation, back end, or you trade them for someone who can't be in the rotation. You can't get a guy like, maybe. No, that's... the Smiley Geach days are over. and they were already over, but
yeah. One thing I should mention is, like, there's, I think, like a 27% chance or so, like, Minnesota keeps their pick, exactly. And then suddenly you only have 14. Yeah. And, you know, then you still have Minnesota's unprotected now, you know, 2022
you
pick.
You can trade that one.
Which is tradable, yeah, yes, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is right. Like, the biggest project on their roster next season needs to be Wiseman. Yeah. Like,
Or you decide what to do with Wiseman.
Yes, and to me, the early sense I get, and it is so early, like these offseason discussions haven't happened. They don't know where the picks are. The organizational power players have not had the conversations. But my early sense is James Wiseman will be here next season unless we're talking about a superstar becoming available.
I'd agree with that. I would agree with that. Like, you don't take him off the table, but you cannot do it unless you get something of very high value return. It's value that will help you win playoff games. Not like sort of maybe projects to. It would have to be, and you know, I don't even know how you do it because most of those guys are making $25 million and they can't take $25 million back. But if they can figure out some way to work a three-way deal, whatever, it has to be a Siakam level player. I think we've kind of established that. I don't know, you know, Lonzo Ball is not that level player. You know, that, you know, you don't do it for Kelly Oubre level player. I know they have them. I'm saying if that was the player that they could get, you got to go way above that. And I don't think that's going to be there. I just don't think the way this season unfolded is that you saw so much talent, but you didn't see a lot of true value yet. I don't think you can get Pascal Siakam or that level of player for James Wiseman. So if you can't do it, you keep him and he's one of your seven. Like, he's your seventh guy. Like, we haven't even talked about him being in the rotation.
Yeah,
he's your eighth man. I mean, I can see that now.
Or you know, he's just particularly with his knee issue, he's a behind the scenes project. And if you don't calculate him into the firm, like, yes, playoff rotation, if we're really talking playoff rotation, maybe he's not ready for the playoffs next season. And two things matter. You go, you know, this is a 2023, 2024 type thing. They work with him behind the scenes. They take the patient approach. That is the term I keep getting told from people behind the scenes, is patience now with him. The knee injury even bumps back his timeline further. But the other thing is, it'd be selling low on James Wiseman. They believe he's still a very good prospect that will blossom eventually. Now, is it in the timeline of Steph Curry's title window? Doesn't seem to be. But you also don't want to sell extremely low on somebody you drafted 7 months ago, second overall, like, you know.
And started in game one. I mean, showed you enough to start him in game one and clearly has a ton of talent. There's no question. And didn't get a chance to really have a training camp. Summer League, we mentioned all these things. So, again, I think.
So if it's Marcus Smart's expiring contract for James Wiseman,
I wouldn't do it. No, I mean, there's some people might do that. I would not do that. Yeah, I think that's like the Oubre level. I mean, it really seems to clarify in my head if you say Oubre level. Because there's tons of players who are available like Kelly Oubre, right? I mean, because they're pretty good. The team's kind of tired of them. They're making too much.
Maybe they don't fit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Kelly Oubre. Young. And the next two levels up, I say, is the Siakam level. And there aren't a lot of players in the Siakam level. That's why they're so valuable. I would want that. I would want one of the 15 guys in that level. And maybe they're not even 15 guys. And it's hard, again, because contracts work in very mysterious ways. I don't know. But it just isn't – I just don't think it's the right way to trade James Wiseman. I think you could say, okay, can – with a full, like, recovery, and then he's patient and he's just working on his jumper and he gets in the roster, you know, he's on the team and then he works his way into the,
you give him good second, you work him with Poole a bunch as the second unit,
if it doesn't work, it doesn't work with that, but it's okay because the second unit stinks anyway. Mm-hmm. And you don't mess up Curry's minutes with him, but maybe he works into that way. And by March, like we were saying at the beginning of this season, say it again, if by March he's somebody who can give you good playoff minutes, you've established that, then he's good in April and May. And if not, okay, that's all right. Don't subtract his value, though. There's a chance he could really be good for you. There's a really good chance he could be one of the better players on that second unit. Then why not? I mean, unless you get Siakam, and I can't even name many other people. Like,
If the Sixers absolutely flame out and Ben Simmons is available, and that's part of the playoffs. That's part of this information that isn't available now because the playoffs haven't happened in the NBA. They're not going to happen again with the Warriors. One thing I do want to say though, you were on the post game calls with Draymond Green and Steph Curry. I put their sound bites in my story if you want to actually hear what they had to say. But
they were interesting.
Neither of them avoided the fact that there needs to be roster tweaks this summer. Clearly, they know they need more veteran playoff-winning help. That doesn't necessarily mean they just, needs to be a star. They need to somehow find a way to sign and trade for Kawhi. But it's more like Steph kind of danced around it in his subtle ways. But still, him even subtly hinting at it is notable because of how little he usually does that. And then Draymond Green just coming out and saying, that they're – both of them will be involved in the offseason conversations.
And Clay.
They are going to put the pressure on, which matters.
Clay, we're about to get Pascal Siakam. We're texting you, and he won't text me back. Clay, come on. He's out with Rocco. Yes, no question. And it's – I'm going to write about some of this tomorrow. It's – this is what this was. This was not that they were trying to do this or not that anybody was setting up this way, but this was – Steph and Draymond saying, this is our franchise. Joe Lacob owns it. Steve Kerr's the coach of it. Bob Myers is president, general manager. All that's understood. The next 2 to 3 years, though, has to be shaped and approved by Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Because what was the 15-5 about? You could say it was about a lot of things. It was about Steph Curry and his guys, Draymond Green. That's what it was about, period. And, you could have coached it 27 different ways, and you could have had a lot of different people in there, and it was about Steph Curry and Draymond Green and a little Andrew Wiggins, but that's Wiggins working within that. And again, not saying that they were trying to do this and not saying that it was like a part of the discussion, but that's what it was. And Draymond was talking to that and how bleak it was when he and Steph were sitting there scratching their heads and saying, how are they going to get out of this? And I think Steph is the one who said the word bleak previous time, not tonight. There was a risk of this thing toppling over. We talked about it. I don't think it was, you can look in retrospect and say, okay, maybe not that bad, but in their minds it was. What pulled them out of it? Was it something that Steve Kerr coached? Was it something that Bob Myers acquired? Was it something that Joe Lacob paid for? Or was it Steph fucking Kerr? Bleeping Kerr.
No, it was Steph Kerr.
Me and Draymond. Steph fucking Curry. It was Steph fucking Curry. And again, that's underlined after 27 other times in previous seasons. But at this stage, at age 33, with Draymond Green at his side, with Klay Thompson coming back, this is running through Steph Curry. And if anyone needed that to be emphasized, if anyone needed to acknowledge that, it was what Steph and Draymond were basically saying. Steph in his more diplomatic way, Draymond outright.
Direct.
This thing was about to topple over if not for Steph Curry saying, to hell with that. And there are probably three players in the league that could do that. And he's one of them. And that's where the future of this team is still at 33.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you kind of take a wider view of the season, it's bad for them they didn't make the playoffs, obviously. But in general, the Wiseman development is on the negative side of the ledger. The fact that Klay was injured, going into the season, but it's just a rough reality that he will be coming into next season off two, massive.
And even Steph said we don't know what version of him will be back, So they know. And it's probably not gonna be at the start of the season. I don't expect him back.
I mean, if it is, it'll be 15 minutes, 17 minutes, not playing on a back to back, that type of stuff. But the positive side of the ledger, this is not an empty season for them. No. This is Steph Curry showing that his prime will be elongated. That was not a guarantee coming into the season. He played 5 games in 18 months. Yeah. He was going to turn 33, and you just didn't know. Now you know. He's a tier one superstar that looks like he will be for the next couple seasons. Draymond Green in this 15-5 stretch that you mentioned proved that he still has that defensive gear and still has an offensive impact, though his limitations really make roster construction and lineup combination construction challenging. And that's part of the equation they have to go into the offseason, knowing that Draymond has to be a part of it because of his ties to Steph Curry, his history with the franchise, but also you kind of need to like fit
that's
around him.
That's why Wiseman fits in an intellectual way, because he scores, and it's hard to have Draymond. I have said this, and I was proven wrong by 15-5, but having Draymond and Looney at the start of every game is a little tough offensively. Again, when Steph's the most transcendent offensive player that we've ever seen, it's easier to do that. I do think it is why Wiseman is so important to them. And I have backed off this a little bit, but I was like, well, you don't trade him because you're going to need him at some point, because Kevon Looney and Draymond Green don't fit together for long minutes forever. They just don't. Again, 15-5 disproved a lot of that, and it was almost strictly because they pulled Wiseman out of the lineup and lost Oubre. Well, then Wiseman fell out of the lineup with injury and lost Oubre too. We haven't even mentioned Oubre, by the way. We didn't even say his name until now.
You were mentioning him as like the level of player you wouldn't trade for James Wiseman.
That's how I mentioned.
Oubre is the free agent drama that at this point, I think we all got to view it very unlikely that he returns. I mean, maybe if it's a below market deal, if he doesn't find a market out there and they feel like, hey, look, it's just they can get him back on the cheap. Or, I mean, to me, I think at minimum they just got to try to find a way to get a trade exception out of him. Yep. Continuing down the road of the positives from this season, Wiggins proved he was the type of player that they can really pencil in for 38 minutes a night at the small forward position and feel comfortable. The contract is what it is. As long as they're willing to pay the tax, he's the starting three the next couple seasons, fine. Can he be the starting three on a Warriors title team? Sure. As long as they have the right pieces around him, he looks like he could do that. Jordan Poole, I'm hesitant to now say sixth man for sure next season. He's Jordan Clarkson 2.0. But, man, it's trending that way. And that is, considering what we would have said about Jordan Poole at the start of the season, which was, should they have picked up his third-year $1 million option? I don't know. Now we're saying, guy could legitimately score 18 a game off the bench.
What you really could say is, you would have gone, without him, you would have gone into this season with another question mark. Who's the backup point guard? Mm-hmm. You didn't know. Nico Mannion? Is it possibly Jordan Poole? You have to go get another Brad Wanamaker? Again, you can do it. Those guys are available, but they can be misses. Like Wanamaker was a miss, and they don't have that now. I mean, you could use a third. You could use a third point guard if it's not Nico Mannion. You could use somebody else who can play that position just in case. But they don't have to get one, and they got a nice. They got a nice score out of Jordan Poole, and who knew that was there from last season? I did not know that.
And 3 weeks ago, I would have said, Poole has developed into a definite rotation piece next season. After these last 3 weeks where he went 20-20 against the Jazz and Suns in back-to-back wins, 38 in a spot start, and then really the last three games, which was Memphis, Lakers, Memphis, great minutes. Yeah.
Key baskets
off the bench, steps up to the free throw line and hits three half to have it free throws. Phantom, with confidence,
phantom foul, but still.
But he walks up to the line in a massive moment, hits three straight free throws,
and he drew the foul too. This guy is going to be this guy's already an NBA player that matters.
Tried to dunk on LeBron, which was a moment. And to me, the last 3 weeks have made me rethink. This could be going somewhere. Even further, you know what I mean? He could really, emerge, knowing his work ethic, knowing his clear skill.
Especially with them not knowing what they're going to get from Clay. How important is that? If they're thinking, if before you said 10 minutes or 15 minutes out of Clay for the first 4 weeks, what would you have said? Jesus, what are they going to do?
Where are they going to find
them? Now you got, that's fine because Jordan Poole can play 25 minutes. And then you just got to figure out how else that's going to work. And leaps right over Oubre, obviously, right? Wasn't Oubre the sixth man, right? Wasn't he supposed to be the penciled in as the sixth man? Nope.
Well, Oubre signed for $5 million to be the ninth man.
He'd love that,
to be the backup power forward.
He's just like Kevon Looney when Looney went out to the market and didn't get anything, came right back. That's exactly the attitude you expect out of Kelly Oubre.
Warriors away. Looney did another positive development. He just stayed healthy all season, and he was good. And he looked like that. Kevon Looney is a good backup center in the NBA. And you know, he's entering the offseason healthy and having proven it. I don't know how many games he ended up playing.
They don't have to go get a center. I don't think. I mean, if you,
look, I think they should get a veteran.
They get a number. You just need a center. I'm not saying you need to get a specifically good center. Unless they trade Wiseman. But if you get Marquise Chris back, which I think would be very possible, there's your centers, and you don't play that many of them anyway. So
yeah, it's part of what they proved this season. Exactly. It's like they're don't have centers, okay?
They're fine. Yeah, I mean, they go against the big guys, and they go small, and that's fine too. They did go super small tonight, by the way, for a little bit. Then when they had Wiggins at the Draymond at the five and Wiggins at the four, that was interesting. I was just to get offense, I'm sure, because JTA was not having a very good offensive night, so they were just trying to soup up the offense a little bit, I think. And Memphis was going small too, with Kyle Anderson as their four, you know, that sort of thing. So it was workable. Didn't do great, but it was workable.
Yeah. So I mean, in general, I mean, that's kind of the encapsulation of the season. A lot of fringe positives. Don't love what happened with the number two overall pick, but you know, there was talent flashes within there. Huge decisions to make this summer. Pressure is, you know, immensely on the front office at this point. It will be on the coaching staff and Steve Kerr once the entire roster is together and they enter training camp next season from a franchise perspective with Chase Center, as we saw tonight. Another little tease of next season tonight. We had basically a half full, like a donut version of Chase Center because of the vaccinated sections. This thing, which we are both staring out at right now, will be full next season. It's a key season in franchise history as they transition to San Francisco.
I thought it was important to get this game. I remember I said that should be their goal. I said that for like all season. Like, get one postseason game at Chase Center just to give you a feel for what it could be like. Didn't know how many people were going to be here. Didn't know what the opponent was. Didn't know the situation. But if you get one postseason game, it kind of whets the appetite. And it's better. And I'm even going to write this. What if they go into Salt Lake City and they lose two straight by 40 and they come here and lose game three in a tight one and get swept? Okay, you've gone through it. Did it really gain very much by doing that? Really? I would say maybe not. So, like, you want to win. I'm not saying you don't want to win. You always want to win. That's always what you want to do. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have the season end right here and get your one postseason game here and that's it and not march up to Salt Lake, and it would not be pretty. Hey, maybe they would have pulled off the upset. I don't know. But I don't think
I'll say one other thing. And this is a dark way to end the podcast, but one of the most impressive pull-out wins out of their ass in Warriors history is Game 5 in Toronto. KD goes down with the Achilles, pushed himself back, goes down with the Achilles. Warriors, I believe, are down 6 with like a minute left, basically. And then they go Curry 3, Clay 3, Curry 3, and drag it out of Toronto in stunning fashion. You know, one of their signature wins, really, in the entire run. Bring it back to Oakland, give Oracle a final game, which meant a lot to a lot of people, and nearly won that game and sent it to Game 7. But guess what happened in that Game 6? Klay Thompson tore his Achilles.
If they lose Game 5, they have Klay Thompson for, you know, he tore his ACL.
Yes, he tore his ACL, and he would later tear his Achilles. And guess what? If he doesn't tear the ACL, he probably doesn't go down the hell spiral that leads to the Achilles. I mean, essentially, the butterfly effect of all of that loses two Klay Thompson seasons where, like you said, you're never rooting to lose. But one thing I will say is the season is over.
Nobody hurt.
None of the main guys got hurt.
Yes.
And considering what we've seen with these Warriors, it is pretty good for them to go into the offseason knowing Steph Curry enters his offseason healthy. Draymond Green enters his offseason healthy. Klay Thompson is getting closer.
And I'm going to make a prediction here, Steph Curry. My prediction is we'll not be going to the Olympics. That's my prediction. It's just too much.
He wants to check that gold medal off that resume, though. Doesn't have
protocols, and
he did kind of
you cooped up in your room, and I doubt that his family can be there with him. I understand it's a representing country, and he wants his gold medal. He hasn't had the chance, and I'm sure Under Armour would like him there, and I'm sure all the marketing. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying, if it's really his decision, he's saying, I don't know. If you say, I don't know, and you bring up the complications, that means you're leaning in your heart, his personal part, to not to go, and he shouldn't go. He shouldn't go if that's what he feels. He shouldn't be pushed there by marketing reasons or others. And that maybe it won't be. Maybe it's totally him and he wants it. But I feel the same way as I felt the last time around when he had the, you know, he was tired. They were in the finals. And, like, do you want to go through that? Well, no. I mean, it's just too much. And I think the COVID situation is the one that's going to say, it's just going to be too hectic. Let somebody else go. I will let this one thing go in my career. I might be wrong. I might be proven totally wrong. But I think he gained a lot by having as much time as he had off before this season, and look what it happened. And the Olympics is not the most stressful thing in the world. Shouldn't be, but it's one more thing, and you throw the COVID in, and he just went through this whole season. He just went through where you can't go out to dinner. I just sense that he's not going to go. I'm going to call it right here.
Well, we'll end it with that. It's quite too a dark, prediction. Too dark. Yeah, that was a little dark end to a dark season.
It's actually good for Warriors fans if he doesn't go to the Olympics. Flat out.
That's, I mean, maybe they wouldn't mind having a little summer entertainment. Get to watch Steph Curry. No, okay.
You want a healthy and strong and rested Steph Curry next season.
Well, we will be giving you off-season podcasts and coverage, I'm sure, in the weeks ahead. And then as we get towards the draft, big lottery, free agency, all that. I'll also probably be doing some more like national NBA coverage, because guess what, the playoffs are starting in
Slaker returns.
The playoffs are starting in like, I don't know, 12 hours or so. We'll talk to you soon.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner StubHub has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.